This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Today marks 4 years since the death of an 18-year-old teenager, Naveen, after severe bullying. And with that, there have been increased calls for anti-bullying laws. So tonight, we are looking at the issue of bullying and what more needs to be done.
So first, we will look at anti-bullying legislation and why it matters. And then we hear about what young people face when it comes to this issue. And finally, we're going to discuss the role that educators play in all of this.
So share your thoughts with us. How can we stop bullying in schools? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07, and let's get right into it. So today is 4 years since a really publicized story very sadly came to light about a teenager, Naveen, passing away on the 15th of June 2017. And this followed a case of severe bullying by several teenagers.
Yes. So at the time, Naveen was out with his best friend, Previn, and they were then reportedly teased and attacked by five teenagers. Previn managed to escape and to call for help. But subsequently, Naveen was found unconscious and then declared brain dead when they reached the hospital. And he died a few days after being admitted to the ICU. Four of the teenagers have been charged with murder. The trial began in May this year and is ongoing. And, you know, that's a horrible story. I remember it being horrible at the time. Talking about it now, it's still awful. But it was made worse in many ways by the fact that 2 weeks actually before Naveen's death, there was another death where Zulfahan Osman Zulkarnain died after being tortured by a group of his peers. He was actually 21 at the time, so both men were really young. And he was a Navy cadet at the Malaysian National Defence University.
So all this is, I mean, of course, it's coming to light again, one, because the trial, as we said, are ongoing for the case involving Naveen's death. And a month ago, also Naveen's mother, as well as her brother and Praveen, the boy who was with Naveen at that time, did lodge police reports saying that there were more people involved in that particular crime. Now, all of this is coming on the wake of his mother also calling on the government to recognize the 15th of June as National Anti-Bullying Day. And that's in honor of her son, as well as other victims who have lost their lives to bullying. And I think that it's very important to recognize the significance of that, right? The importance of it, because it would be not just a reminder of the lives that were lost, but a reminder of the changes that really need to be made, that that is so urgent in terms of putting in place proper systems and structures to deal with an issue like bullying that just seems to keep recurring in different forms.
I think one of the things that makes it very difficult to address, right, and why more awareness and more light needs to be shed on it is simply because very often it goes unseen. I think that we don't always know what's happening to our children in schools. We certainly don't know what it is that they're seeing or what people are saying to them online, in their phones, through social media. It's a constant barrage. So on the one side of it, it may not be visible. And because of that, I think it's something that we think about, we know it happens, but if it's not constantly being talked about, then, you know, it kind of dips back down in terms of awareness. So I think that's why something like a National Anti-Bullying Day is so important. And, you know, we're talking about cases in which people lost their lives, and that is horrendous. I don't think there's any way to overstate that. But even people who have survived bullying are deeply impacted in ways that they carry through to the rest of their lives, right? Well beyond school, well beyond the time when they would have been interacting with their bullies. So there is that. And there's also the impact on the bullies. So that's also something that's been well studied and documented, that people who bully also live with a lot of psychological impact from it. And so it's just a very difficult issue to untangle.
And we shouldn't have to only have these conversations or do something about it when a life is lost. That's really not the point at which we should start talking about these things. So on that vein, actually, the other thing that Naveen's mother, Shanti, has started is a support group, and that's called the Naveen Action and Investigation League. She's part of that, and they're also calling for anti-bullying legislation to be passed. So those are some of the things that we're going to be looking at today. The various aspects of bullying, what progress we've made in that direction, or lack of progress in some cases. So we'd like to hear from you. How can we stop bullying in school? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we will be speaking with Arun Doraisamy, who is the chairman of Naveen Action and Investigation League, or NAIL. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:13. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are talking about bullying, specifically because it is 4 years since the death of Naveen because of bullying. And so we're looking at various aspects of the issue and what more needs to be done. And we'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts with us. How can bullying in schools be stopped? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over to Arun Doraisamy, who is chairman of the Naveen Action and Investigation League, or NAIL, N-A-I-L. Arun, thank you for being with us today. So it's been 4 years since the deaths of both Naveen as well as Zulfarhan from separate bullying cases. What has changed in our institutions when it comes to how we deal with bullying?
Just to answer a question in short, right? Nothing has changed. And the institution have not addressed the issue directly. The only thing that carrying this bully is two names. One is Naveen and another one is Zulfarhan. Okay? Zulfarhan was murdered on June 1st, 2017. And Naveen was murdered June 15th, 2017. Okay, so to answer your question, we should have taken this opportunity to address the issue. Like example, in average year, we have about 3,500 bully cases reported in our schools, whether the schools and IPTA, IPTS. That is way too many. What have we done? In policy changes, in creating awareness, and in addressing this one, we are very specific legislation. So we haven't done enough. It's about time for us to make sure that Naveen and Zulfarhan is the last victim of bully. So that's exactly how NAIL and the families of Naveen and the families of Praveen feels.
So you mentioned that thousands of bullying cases are still reported every year. Could you tell us more about the situation at the moment and how serious it is?
The bullying now, okay. I understand at this time, there are some efforts been done trying to propose a cyberbullying act, which we know prevalently it have caused so much of problem, and to the level people have committed suicide and things like that. Okay, that's on cyberbullying. But again, what we are going after is bullying in a holistic manner, not only cyberbullying, but also physical bullying. And I like to quote the studies done by UKM, Department of General Studies, or they call it CHITRA. Okay. And these studies done about 6-7 years ago. And the study shows 82.9% of our kids in school would have faced bully one point or another. That is way too much. And my question, if the issue is so big, why weren't this issue made headlines until Naveen Naveen and Zulfarhan were killed. I say it's about time for us to seriously sit down and see how can the school system, especially the school institution, can protect our kids. Protection is the first responsibility of the schools. Naveen's bully later turned murder. Okay, it did not happen in one day, one night, one week, one month, one year. It happened since Darjah Tiga. I mean, the mother thought, okay, changing school was the right decision because the teacher failed to reprimand the students or able to counseling the bullies. They failed. So what Naveen's mother did, okay, she changed to another school. And Naveen's bad luck that he faced the same group in his secondary school. And it is sad to know that Naveen did so badly in his PT3 because he did not want to go to school. And Naveen is not the only one. There is so many thousands out there of students that they are deterred from attending school. They are filled with so much of fear.
You mentioned the need to have a specific anti-bullying law. Could you tell us why this is needed and why the Penal Code and the Child Act are not enough to deal with the problem?
Okay, currently, it's the same example, like why we need sexual harassment legislation. Because we want to zoom in to that particular concern and to ensure that that particular law, piece of law, it is customed to that particular problem. So that we will not let anybody to slip through the cracks of the law. I'll give an example. I say, hey, Potter, meaning this exact word that was used against Naveen. Okay. Hey, Potter, long time no see. Potter means pondan. Can I make a police report against this? Can't. Is that illegal in our CPC system? No. So for us to handle this issue, it is imperative for us to zoom into this issue. Every angle, every detail in relation to a bully must be attended to. So for that reason, we think it's about time for the MPs, for the AGC, okay, to look into this matter. And at this time, NAIL have already set up a special task force to do a proposal on this potential act, and hopefully we will be able to submit the proposal in due time to the law minister in Jabatan Perdana Menteri and also to the AGC. And I call upon everyone to work against the bully, addressing bully via our legal system. That's first. And it should be named. Okay, it is only fair to be named after Naveen and Zulfarhan because they actually gave their life for this. And nevertheless, there's a lot of other people affected in the past, okay? Second thing, we need to create awareness. It's about time for parents to ask, especially their boys, okay, boys, if they are subjected to such abuses in schools. And some of the boys don't want to tell their parents because they don't want the parents to go to school and ask them. Why? Then later, they will be labeled as a crying child, pondan. Do you see why the boys like to keep it to themselves? But it's adults' job, the school's job, to make sure that their grievances, their fear, and their problem is addressed properly. So we need an awareness.
And if we look at the anti-bullying law, right, given that it may involve minors, what might be some special considerations that have to be made?
One of the consideration is protecting their, you know, our Child Act already protects their identity and such, okay? But also some of the consideration that must be taken into consideration is also provocation, indirect bullying, and the victim must be given due counseling and protection by the institution itself. So I think we have to see this one in three prong. First prong is the victim itself. I'll give you one of the matter here. Almost a similar incident happened to another person. He was adult. And that person went and made a police report. And what happened? They were threatened to pull back the police report. So they are preying on the fear they have instilled on the victims. So the first course of order, we must ensure the victim's safety and the victim's confidentiality is ensured. Otherwise, nobody going to come and make a report. That's the first prong we have to take into consideration. The second prong is the bully itself. The bullying behavior, it is induced by certain things. What are those? Broken families, people that need to get attention, anger issues, rebellious feeling, and a wrong upbringing. So the second prong, we also have to handle the bullies, because bullies is, they are kids. They need to be nurtured. They need to be counseled. That's the second prong. And third prong, it is the institution and the government machinery itself, which include the public. We must give our ears and heart towards the bully issues. We don't talk about it. How would the kids feel comfortable talking to us? Like now, we are telling the kids, what is a good touch? What is a bad touch? Isn't it? Right? And then it's about time for us to tell the educate the kids. Parents need to be educated. What is a teasing in a playful, harmless way? What is the teasing that brings to bully? What is bully, actually? A lot of adults do not know.
And speaking of that, how can we hold adults involved in the situation accountable, specifically people like teachers or school staff who might not have acted to prevent bullying from happening?
We have to. Okay, this again, the legislation will spell that out. Example, in this particular case, in Navin's case, it went to the discipline teacher, and he himself, I even spoke to him about, got in touch with him a few weeks back. He knew this guy is a bully. If we knew this guy is a bully, one thing we should have removed that element or fixed that element, isn't it? But no, our system actually kept it under the rug. So, yes, for this particular case, everyone must be held responsible, because they failed to dispense their duty. And we repeatedly have identified schools that have issues with the discipline. Why not have officers there? And this is not a new idea. You see that all the time in G7 countries. This one, to assure the parents, security is our top priority. This one, to assuring the kids, they ask somebody there on the premises all the time to defend their interest. And it's also to deter the bullies from undertaking any bully acts. And it's happening. I'll give you an example. Gangsterism, it is an issue in many schools, especially schools in red zones, okay? So most of the time, the kids are forced to join one gang or another. If you say so, you decided you are a good kid, okay? You decided not to join anybody. Say so in that particular class or particular school, there is two big groups, okay? And this group come and power you. Power meaning you have to pay them a protection money. Okay, so if I do not join either one of this gang, I have to pay twice the POW. I have to pay here and I have to pay here, right? Say so, I'm paying 10 ringgit. 10 ringgit here, 10 ringgit here, 20 ringgit. So as idea of survival, this kid are forced to join one of the gang. So why this good kid did not have a protection shield? And some of these schools, even the discipline teachers, the teachers are the victims. We don't talk about this. Most teachers don't even disclose that. So I think it's about time for us to talk about it.
And finally, Neil, as well as Naveen's mother, Shanti Durai Raj, are calling for June 15th to be recognized as National Anti-Bullying Day. Why is it important for us to commemorate this?
Okay, the only goal of declaring June 15th as a anti-bully day is to recognize it is an issue that we have to tackle. so that the parents will talk about it, the teachers will talk about it, our lawmakers will talk about it, the society will talk about it. And very important, the victims and the bullies will also be part of this. See, my thing is, it is the cascading effect that we will have in the society. We will have more research. We will have a lot more reports. Right now, a lot of kids, a lot of victims do not report because there's no avenue, there's no channel. Where is our hotline for anti-bully? So declaring a day will give a face to the issue. The only thing it needs is the intention, niyat, and the agreement that, wow, this is an issue that needs to be brought forefront. And this is the issue that my kids, your kids, our kids are affected. It's so imperative. And definitely, God willing, next year, June 15, hopefully our pandemic will be under control. We will have definitely a nationwide programs in schools and in cities in relation to this. And one of the reasons we are establishing a hotline, 03-7954-9270, okay, all the bully victims can get in touch with us, is two things. We want to make sure all their voices are heard and their fears are attended legally. And second thing is, we also wanted to institute a robust statistics so that we will work with other universities to see how to institute more wholesome studies. And hopefully a year from today, we will have a lot more of these things surface on June 15. Not only remembering the tragedy that happened to Naveen and Zulfarhan, but also to take that that tragedy into something more positive that is useful for our country, society, and our kids.
Arun, thanks for speaking with us today.
Pleasure is mine. Have a good day.
That was Arun Doraisamy, chairman of the Naveen Action and Investigation League, or NAIL, N-A-I-L. Again, that phone number, their Talian Naveen hotline for bullying victims, is 03-7954-9270, 03-7954-9270. We're speaking about bullying, what needs to be done to stop it from happening, really, and this is coming on the wake of the fourth year since Naveen sadly lost his life to bullying. And we'd like to hear from you. How can we stop bullying in schools? Do you remember being bullied yourself? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we'll hear from perspectives from children and young people who have been bullied themselves. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about bullying, what more needs to be done to prevent it. And we have been asking you for your thoughts. We'd love to hear what you think. How can we stop bullying in schools? And whether you have memories of being bullied yourself. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and we do have these messages.
Yeah, I think we kind of expected that there might be some upsetting or sad messages, and it's true that a lot of people have experienced bullying, right? So Nini, for example, says, a male classmate once placed a thumbtack on my chair before I sat on it in pain. I realize now this is an act of a bully. Homeschooling is much better than physically going to school. Teachers are too tired to handle all of these. And Nini, you know, that was something that was also very popular in my school, and it was thought of as something that was completely harmless. You know, the ways in which the people would do it was as if it was a bit of silly fun. And I think that that's why the mindset of bullying is so insidious, because it's It's you need to address it even at this point, right, before it escalates. I don't know why the idea of causing your classmate pain would ever have been thought to be funny. And I think if you're egged on by people, then that's how it gets worse.
I think what also struck me about what Nini says is that I realize now, which is something that a lot of people go through, right? This experience of looking back on your childhood or your days in school and realizing that actually what the other person was doing was not acceptable and that you shouldn't have had to put up with it. We also have this from Adlina, who says, I used to be bullied when I was in secondary school. There used to be a bunch of girls who would pick on me all the time during recess, call me names. They even threatened to slap me. I didn't do anything or inform anyone. Even though I wasn't hurt, I felt insecure and sad. I felt so unwanted in school, so I ended up skipping school and got caught by teachers because those girls told teachers about me skipping school. I had a tough time during my secondary school, never really enjoyed it. Adlina, you know, I'm so sorry that you had to go through that. And I think your story is a great example of how physical harm doesn't have to be involved for bullying to have severe impact on someone.
Yeah. And I think I absolutely right. And again, it's about how the small things add up, how things that you might not even think of as bullying are bullying. They have a huge impact on other people's psyches. Just the last one, and I think following on in some ways on Nini's point about teachers. So Edward says, as much as I appreciate how much teachers have on their hands, it's undeniable that school plays a crucial role in identifying and preventing such situations from escalating or even occurring. To share an experience when I was a student, we were told by our teachers that anyone who reports trouble with another student would also receive the same punishment as the supposed perpetrator. How on earth does this encourage any student to come forward to report any incident of bullying? The message from the teachers was basically, don't bother us, we don't care. I did not personally experience any major bullying myself in school, but it still perturbs me to this day how the teachers could be so unsympathetic and uncaring.
It's exactly that, isn't it? As long as bullying is viewed as a nuisance for the teachers and school administrators to deal with, it's never going to be taken to be as serious as it can be. And until, again, as I said earlier, something so serious happens that we can't help but take notice. And that's exactly what needs to be changed. And that's what this whole conversation really is about. But let us know, how can we stop bullying in schools? And if you have experiences being bullied yourself, you can share them with us. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And now joining us to talk about really perspectives from students themselves, we have Cynthia Shantani Joseph, who is co-founder of Kau Oketa. It's an organization that works to destigmatize mental health among teenagers. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So looking back, how did you feel when you first heard about Naveen's death 4 years ago?
I think Naveen's death really, for me, was quite a harsh realization or a harsh awakening to the gravity of the issue. Because honestly, growing up, I was quite sheltered from bullying. I personally have never really encountered much of bullying. Of course, there have been instances of body shaming growing up, which I thought was just good fun. Obviously, it's not looking back. But yeah, so I think because of that, hearing about Naveen's death and some other cases as well, it was really a realization or a slap in the face to me, honestly. I finally got to understand the gravity and seriousness of the issue.
And looking back to your school years, do you remember how your school handled these situations or these instances of bullying?
I think looking back, I feel like the school was generally quite distant from anything that was going on among students. Only in cases where physical violence was involved, only then would the whole case be subjected to a usual disciplinary proceeding. And, you know, the person who commits the offense, the student who commits the offense would probably be suspended for a couple of days and everything goes back to normal. I don't think there was ever an instance where the school actually went out of their way to make sure victims of bullying were looked out for and like they were supported as they should have been.
And what should schools be doing? What sorts of action should they be taking against bullying? Really, what is their role when it comes to addressing this?
I think the school plays an undeniable role, right? Because students may have problems opening up to their parents about things that go on in school. So I think the burden or the onus really falls on the school to create a safe space and really cultivate that relationship of trust between students and the administration. I think that's what has been lacking in our system, is that students don't feel safe opening up about any cases of bullying to their teachers, because I think, like you pointed out earlier, right, teachers tend to brush it off, or schools tend to brush it off really quickly. Of course, unless there's physical violence is involved, then the school pays a bit more attention. So I think what really needs to be done, a good starting point would be for counseling units to really enhance proactive measures to ensure that students' well-being is protected. Because once there's that safe space, students are able to open up. And I think that creates a ripple effect, right? Then bullies would probably be deterred to some extent, though not completely, right? Because there is this awareness that the school is looking out for cases of bullying and the school will take action. I think we need to start within the counseling units would be a good step for the schools to take. Yeah.
How has the online space affected the way bullying occurs? And how serious it can be, I think, particularly because, as we keep saying, right, it's so pervasive, it's constant.
I think it's undeniable, the gravity or the harm that can come out of cyberbullying. Interestingly enough, actually, 2 years ago, I think UNICEF conducted a study in Malaysia, and they found that 1 in 5 of Malaysian students tend to skip school because of cyberbullying. And I think that those numbers speak for themselves. Cyberbullying, really, because of the safety of your screens and the opportunity to remain anonymous, it really encourages or enables a bully to go out of their way to harm another person. So I think that's something that cannot be neglected anymore. I think serious action has to be taken.
Now, Ka O Keta, which you're with, is a mental health initiative, and you guys mainly work with teenagers. From a mental health perspective, what can be done to support those who have experienced bullying?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is to create a safe space for victims of bullying to come forth and have very human and very, very supported environments to have conversations on their experiences. Oftentimes, I think we are very quick to intervene and say, okay, maybe this is what you need, this is what you need. Sometimes I think victims of bullying just really need a safe space to kind of share their stories and tell us what they need. So I think with Ka O Keta, we've been trying to do that, trying to cultivate that support system or grow that support system so they are able to fall back on an alliance, really. Yeah.
And what about bullies and the mental health support that they might need?
I think that's something that we are far from achieving, right? I think the common wisdom now is that bullies need punitive measures. And while to some extent that may be justified, I think bullies tend to have their own underlying issues, be it in mental health or upbringing in terms of their socioeconomic status. So I think what could be done, really a good starting point would be for schools, actually. So when you encounter cases of bullying, I think it'd be very important for, if not counseling teachers, maybe disciplinary teachers, to actually follow up with the bullies themselves and see, try and provide that support that they need and try to uncover what are the issues that they may be facing, which causes them to express themselves through bullying. Yeah.
So there are calls being made to declare June 15th National Anti-Bullying Day. Do you think having a day to highlight this issue would be helpful?
I think with the proliferation of social media and online advocacy, I think a day of remembrance or a day dedicated to awareness about bullying would actually help quite a bit in terms of raising awareness of the gravity of the issue and maybe to push people to incite change within their own institutions and their own capacities. But then again, on the other hand, I think the crusade against bullying is really something that requires like a multi-agency effort. Parents, schools, policymakers, I think everyone kind of needs to come forward and really plan out systematic changes in order to either curb or at least mitigate the effects of bullying. So be it enforcing counseling sessions or support sessions for students who have been involved in bullying cases, or policies that put in place redress mechanisms against a bully, and also for a bully, whatever support they may need. So really, I think while it's a good idea to have a day dedicated to awareness of bullying, I think it's even more important, if not equally important, to have or to really start working together within different agencies and different parties. Yeah.
Cynthia, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Cynthia Shantani Joseph, co-founder of Kau Oketa, who work with mental health and teenagers. And coming up after this, we will discuss bullying from the perspective of educators and what they can do. But meanwhile, share your thoughts with us. What can be done to prevent bullying from happening in schools? Do you have experiences with being bullied? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent maneuvers. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:51. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're focusing on bullying. So now we are joined by Kelvin Tan, who is co-founder and CEO of Project ID. Project ID runs a series of student empowerment programs. So he's here with us to discuss this from the perspective of educators. Kelvin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sharmila. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with what role should the Ministry of Education as well as educators play when it comes to addressing this issue of bullying?
So when it comes to bullying, it's really two things, right? It's prevention and intervention. So from the prevention standpoint, it's really about creating awareness and coming up with strategies to prevent bullying. And when it comes to intervention, it is to take on the role to address and tackle bullying when it happens. So for the ministry, it's policies, it's coming up with formal mechanisms to address bullying. It is also to upskill and empower teachers as well as our school leaders to apply these strategies within the school discourse. For educators like us, well, I always like to say teachers are the critical agents of change. They are the real frontliners when it comes to directly impacting our students. So what they do is, you know, execute strategies. They address the issue when they witness it. They investigate when there is a case. They apply the interventions necessary for the bully as well as the victim. But the reality is bullying can take place anywhere. You know, it can take place in school. It can take place on the way to school, on the way back home, at the tuition center, in public spaces, and online, as well as social media, right? So the important thing here is also not just mechanisms and policy, but also thinking about as educators, as school leaders, how do we create a positive environment? How do we develop a mindset, nurture a culture of no bullying in schools? And that really comes down to, you know, how do we treat people who are different from us, the language that we use in school? Are we even modeling the behavior and actions that prevents bullying? Yeah.
You know, Kelvin, in all honesty, a lot of the messages that we're getting have expressed a certain measure of disappointment with the way that their teachers kind of handled it when they were in school. And I wanted to know, how well are these measures that you're talking about being carried out in schools at the moment from what you know?
So first of all, we are talking about a system of about over 10,000 schools all over Malaysia, right? We have about close to over 5 million students at any given time right now. So there are existing strategies and protocols to handle bullying in school. So in our existing school system, there are guidelines to prevent and address bullying among school students. I think there's a teacher's guide as well as a student's guide. So when a bullying case happens and is reported, the protocol is that the offenders or the bully and the victims are investigated. So there's an investigation process undertaken by the school. And then the bully, if found guilty, there are some actions taken, either suspension, expulsion, or even some forms of counseling intervention, depending on the seriousness of the case. And then we also have parents of both parties notified so that, you know, they can provide the support needed by these students. And we also have a complaint box where students can anonymously voice out their concerns. But I know that this also hasn't been very well received by students because they prefer to voice it out in person when this happens. It's not just writing on a piece of paper. But the important thing is also to ask, you know, do our students feel safe in schools? Do they feel safe in a classroom with their peers as far as bullying is concerned? It's not just about how well is it being carried out. It's not just about the protocols, policies and mechanisms. Yeah.
What do you think can be done better when it comes to increasing awareness on bullying and as well as creating safe spaces in schools here in Malaysia?
So I think the first thing is really first having a conversation with our students, with our children, right? About what it means to be a bully, what it means to be a victim, and what it even means to be a bystander. So walking, taking an empathy walk and walking in each of these roles, right? Because the reality is sometimes a bully doesn't know that they are bullying. If you ask a lot of people who are very nice people, and if you explain to them what does bullying mean, they will most likely tell you, actually, I have done that before. Unintentionally. This is by no means, you know, justifying all the other serious bullying cases. But the core of this is, you know, do our children recognize what are bullying behaviors? Number two, for our victims, do they know how to address, do they have not first how to identify a bullying behavior that is, you know, done upon them, right? And as a bystander, are we teaching our children to recognize the influence of this role of a bystander where, you know, you need to take action too? Walking away is almost as bad because we are leaving a victim behind. So in terms of teaching, we need to teach our students strategies to combat bullying when it comes to victim as a bystander. Very important, both equally important. The second thing is also to teach students to recognize the behaviors of a bully, as I mentioned just now, so that they themselves can identify if they are committing the action and they can identify if an action is being committed onto them. So for us, even in Project ID, I can say this with conviction because we've done this exercise before. About 1.5 years ago, we worked with the Ministry of Education and UNICEF on a national program where we get 40 student change makers from around the country, and we got them to come up with a policy recommendation on what students want to end bullying in schools, right? And in this exercise, we actually took them through about speaking their experience about being a bully, being a victim, and being a bystander. And that's a very powerful exercise, and I truly encourage it. So that's for our students and our children. But it's not just them, right? It's not just schools and teachers. We also should ask, what are parents doing? What is the PIBG, the PTA, Parents Teachers Associations doing? What can our district education, state education office do? Yeah.
Kelvin, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
That was Kelvin Tan, co-founder and CEO of Project ID, speaking to us about bullying and what educators as well as those in positions of authority within the education structure could do to prevent bullying from happening. And we'd like to hear from you. What do you think needs to be done to prevent bullying from happening in schools? If you have experiences yourself, please share them with us if you'd like. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.